Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is technology. Each of my guests will talk about their specialty in technology. My first guest is the CEO of the Mobile Future Institute, a U.S.-based think tank that is on the forefront of mobile research, exploring how mobile customers are on the move, on location, and how the marketeer will have to find their customers in the new digital landscape. We'll discuss his latest book, The Third Screen. My second guest is truly a thought leader on the subject of technology. He's the founder and senior maverick at Wired Magazine. He's written a book that causes readers to think about technology in a completely different way. We'll discuss his book, What Technology Wants. My third guest is an international expert on the strategic impact of information technology on innovation, marketing, and talent. We'll discuss macro changes in the business that would relook at business in the world from his book, Macro Wickonomics. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. My first guest, Chuck Martin, is the CEO of the Mobile Future Institute and the director of the Center of Media Research at Media Post Communications Incorporated. Chuck has been a digital pioneer in the interactive marketplace for more than a decade. As the director of the Center of Media Research at Media Post Communications, Inc., Chuck conducts markets and analyzes the intentions of media buyers and planners. Chuck is a former vice president of IBM, where he ran a division responsible for business strategy solutions in the media industry, including publishers and advertising agencies. Chuck is a New York Times best-selling author of the book The Digital Estate. He's also penned 7 other books, including Net Future, and he's been featured on CNN, CNBC, Fox, ABC News, and the rest. Welcome to the show, Chuck. How are you today?
I'm great to be here. How are you?
Well, I'm great to have you as a guest on my show, Technology. You are definitely on the forefront of technology. And I have to set the stage for your new book, The Third Screen, Marketing to Your Customers in a World Gone Mobile. I was just astounded by some of the things that I learned reading your book. So let me just say, spoiler alert right up front, the first screen is television, for those of my listeners who are counting. The second screen is the personal computer. And now the third screen is mobile. And I didn't realize this, Chuck, 5 billion people in the world have a cell phone. That's 73% of the entire world's population. And to put that into some context, there are only 1 billion personal computers and only 2 billion TVs in the world. Now, bringing it a little closer to home, here in the United States, there are 297 million people have cell phones. That's 94% of the population. And half of those people have a smartphone or will have a smartphone by the end of this year. 9/10 of the users of mobile phones in China text on their phone. In Japan, consumers swipe their mobile phones instead of credit cards. And you call mobile phone users in your book the untethered consumers. And you believe that the size and the scope of the third screen revolution, as you call it, is bigger than anything that we've seen before. So state your case, Chuck. Why is that?
Well, the reason is, if you look at the revolution from, say the net, and I don't think anyone could argue there was a web-based internet revolution, the way that revolution ran is everyone had to get online. It was like one person at a time, which is why it was incremental over a period of time. With mobile, it's totally different. The network is already built. Everybody's already online. They're already connected. And what we're doing is we're overlaying mobile on top of that. So no longer are you tethered to a device, tethered to a TV or tethered to a PC. The untethered consumer is actually on the go. They're mobile, and the mobile phone is with them wherever they go. And everyone, your listeners, knows this. It's always on. So it's really a ubiquitous device. And you may forget your keys in the morning, but you don't forget your phone, and you always leave your home with it.
It's very funny that you should say that, Chuck. Yesterday, when I needed my mobile phone the most, I accidentally forgot it. It's just one of those things. My guest is Chuck Martin, author of the book, The Third Screen. Chuck, I like the way that you describe the different screens, the different media. TV, you call that a lean-back medium. Personal computer, you call that a lean-in medium. Explain what you mean by both of those, and why is that different from mobile?
Well, when you're watching TV, you do traditionally lean back. You're sitting back. It's passive entertainment. With the PC, it's lean forward because you're doing something with your keyboard. It's highly interactive. With the mobile device, it's what we call it's a pull it forward device. You pull it close. It's up close and personal. Totally different from the other three screens, and it's extremely intimate and delicate, if you will. So the individual, when you think about an individual with a phone, every single person's phone is different in terms of how they set it up. And if you, heaven forbid, give your smartphone to someone and they do something to it, you tend to freak out when you get it back. Like, what did you do? You moved this. This isn't where it goes. Because it really is a personal device. And marketers are going to have to deal with that. And there's actually a really nice opportunity for businesses, especially small businesses, in this regard, because they actually can watch what their customers are doing with these things.
Well, and I want to get into that, Chuck, because most of the people listening to the sound of our voice are in a small or mid-sized business. But to make this even more concrete for my listeners, let's use an example. You've got many good stories in your book, The Third Screen, but the one I want to focus on is the story of Cars.com. So give us from the beginning, when Cars.com was founded back in 1994, what was it all about, and what is its mobile initiative, and tell us why that's important.
Yeah, Cars.com initially was web-based, and the idea was that all the car dealers would get together so that someone would have a central location as a consumer to shop for a car. Over time, they went to mobile dramatically, and they were very innovative in this regard. And I'll tell you a story. We actually bought a car. During the research of the book, we needed another car for one of our family. And we actually bought a car 100% through the Cars.com mobile app.
Wow.
And what we did is we would actually be shopping for a car, would be at the dealer, and they'd be walking us out to show us a car before we even got there. We'd have the photo of the car, we'd have the Carfax information, the Kelley Blue Book value, the trade-in value, retail value. And it turns out the salesperson became sort of superfluous. They didn't have the information we had. We had price drops on cars that were on the mobile app that hadn't even been marked on the physical car itself yet. So they were actually giving us pricing that was incorrect, and we'd show it to them on the phone and say, oh, yeah, we didn't mark it down yet.
All right. Well,
so
Chuck,
we bought a car in a different state, and it turned out to be the best deal there was.
Well,
100% through the mobile app. We never did anything else.
Without a doubt, the mobile app's going to revolutionize it, but I want to take a step back. There are a couple of things that my listeners need to know. First of all, Cars.com was founded by whom?
Oh, they were basically the newspaper companies that were scared that they were going to lose all of their classified advertising. So they said, let's get together as a consortium and create this. And there's several of these types of things, by the way. It's not just cars, where companies, they can't do it themselves because it challenges their total business. So what they do is they essentially set it up outside and then let it be relatively independent and go from there. And these were big papers. This is like Gannett that does USA Today, Knight Ritter, McClatchy, like very big newspaper chains.
Yes.
And it ends up being quite successful. And when you think about it now, how else would you shop for a car? When you think about it, why would you not be using a mobile device to shop for a car?
No, I agree. And a big shout out to Nick Fortas, who was the manager who put all of this initiative together. But just to give the size and the scope for my listeners, they get 10 million hits or visits per month to Cars.com. So that's cool. But now they have two different initiatives, and I found it very interesting, Chuck, when you were looking at these two initiatives, how the app initiative really started to overtake the web-based initiative. So first, there was the mobile site, and then there was the mobile app. So differentiate between those two and give us an idea of why the mobile app took off so quickly.
Well, when and all the listeners need to understand this, a mobile website is different from a traditional website, and an app is obviously different from a mobile website. An app is basically downloaded to your phone, and there are now more than 500,000 apps, so there's pretty much an app to do anything. And what it does is it makes the experience dramatically faster because you're not waiting to connect to the web. The mobile web is totally different. A mobile website is not a traditional website. And a way to think about this, for a mobile website, less is more. And anyone who created any of the small businesses' websites, they can convert it to mobile. We actually have an example. If anybody wants to see a mobile website on a smartphone, just look at thirdscreenrevolution.com. That's a mobile website. And at the bottom, there's a checkbox. You check the box, and it converts it to a traditional website. So you can actually see the difference in real time, mainly because people don't really know that they really are different. So when you're thinking about mobile web, it has to be less, essentially. The other factor is, by the end of this year, 50% of people will have smartphones in the U.S. That means 50% will not. So if you're only doing an app, that means you're guaranteed you cannot reach 50% of the market.
Mm.
So we recommend a more of a holistic approach to mobile. So you're dealing with text messages, with, there are going to be 7 trillion text messages sent this year. 7 trillion.
Wow.
That's off the charts.
That is.
And every phone can get a text message. Almost every phone can do cameras and video and so forth. Not every phone can do apps.
Very true. And I found it interesting looking at the cars.com, the difference in the number of hits or pages that were viewed on the different sites. The mobile site got 12 to 15 page views per visit, which is pretty impressive. But compare that to the app, which got 25 to 30 page views per visit, which was virtually double. So I think that was cool. Now, my guest is Chuck Martin. We're talking about his book, The Third Screen, Marketing to Your Customers in a World Gone Mobile. And Chuck, one of the things that I told you off air before we came on today was that this all frightens me a little bit. As a small business owner, I'm struggling to catch up. So I want to ground this in a little bit of fundamentals. First of all, what marketing tactics are going to remain essentially the same and unchanged as this third screen revolution moves forward?
The ultimate goal through mobile should be to provide value to the customer. And a lot of companies miss this. The bigger companies miss this a lot, frequently, by the way. The smaller companies are actually better at it because they see their customers on a day-to-day basis. The issue is not what kind of an app you can do, because an app is not a mobile strategy. It's simply it's an app. That's all it is. It's a tool. A mobile strategy is, how am I going to better serve my customers through the mobile device, which they have with them all the time? So the first thing small businesses should do is, number one, find out what kinds of phones their customers actually use. They know that all their customers have phones, but what are they using? Do they have smartphones? Do they have full-feature phones? And there's a big difference. And then what are they doing with their phones? Are they texting a lot? Because different customer bases are different demographically. For example, we found in our research that people who own iPhones have a different behavior pattern than people who own Android operating systems from Google.
Hmm.
So if you find out that your customer base are predominantly one type of platform, then you can be pretty accurate in terms of how you can expect that they would behave and what they're actually doing and what kind of money they're spending and all that. So the fundamentals are, you can't broadcast to the phone. It's not like broadcast TV or banner ads on the web. You really have to be invited in by the customer because, again, it's up close and personal. So how do you put yourself in a position where the customer will tap into you and pull, as it's not a push medium, they'll pull and say, give me this information now. And companies aren't yet set up to do that, but that's what they're going to have to do.
My guest is Chuck Martin. He is truly on the forefront of what mobile users use. And Chuck, what are some of the behavioral changes that really define the untethered consumer?
Well, they're basically location-based. This is the first time that you can match supply and demand, which we could track for decades, with time and location. So you can actually check where things are, where the people are, when, and what are the behavior of what are people doing. And this location is just at the beginning of where it's going to go, because location's getting even better and better on phones. And once you know locations of phones, you can provide value based on a customer's potential location and what they're likely to be doing based on what time of day it is. And you can't do that without mobile. It's just not possible. Other things is that it's always on. I mean, this seems like a simple concept, but there's never been anything that's always with the consumer. And it's always with them, and you basically can connect with them anytime. And this is a time where, unlike the internet, where brick and mortar was really a disadvantage, we argue that brick and mortar is an advantage in this environment because you can see the customer doing something with their phone on location. They might be scanning a product or whatever. So, and you've got the customer right there. That's when you provide the value and essentially close the deal.
Interesting. My guest is Chuck Martin, author of the book, The Third Screen, Marketing to Your Customers in a World Gone Mobile. Chuck, there's so much good information in this book, but what do you want readers to take away from reading The Third Screen?
Well, the big thing is we looked at two different kinds of companies, the mobile startups, of which there are more than 1,000, and then the established companies. And what we did the book for was the people in business who they have a phone and they think mobile's big, but they really don't know enough about it. We wanted to give them a horizontal view of everything that's going on in mobile. So that's what I hope we've achieved. We've been getting fabulous reviews for it, so I'm delighted to say. Because you never know when you do a book, you get lousy reviews too, but we didn't.
Well, congratulations to you for that. My guest has been Chuck Martin, author of the book, The Third Screen, Marketing to Your Customers in a World Gone Mobile. Chuck, if people do want to learn more about you, maybe more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
They can go to our website, mobilefutureinstitute.com. We have a lot of research there. It's all free. Mobile Future Institute, and my email, I do answer my email. I'm chuck@mobilefutureinstitute.com. I know it's a long address, but that's what we have. And the book is available anywhere, all the Barnes & Nobles, all the independents, Amazon, of course, the best prices, as usual. So anytime.
And, of course, that includes the independents, include our own Bank of Books here in Ventura, 748 East Main Street and 2682 East Main Street. Chuck, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Great to have you. Thanks.